Well, greetings in Jesus, and welcome to Highways and Byways for January 2005, and our first anniversary of this monthly CD audio magazine. I count it a privilege to be able to bring this work to you each month, and we're looking forward to being able to increase our outreach for 2005. If this is your first Highways and Byways CD, then this volume may be one of the best examples of what we're all about. That's because we've taken the very best of 2004 and compiled those segments for our anniversary edition. For new listeners, it'll be a chance to get caught up with all the different approaches to the good news that we have to share. For our regular listeners and our subscribers, a chance to hopefully hear your favorite segments again or something that you might have missed from a previous month. So we bring you excellent gospel comedy routines, thoughts from Pastor Hank using road signs as a spiritual object lesson. We bring you the very best of the independent Christian artists in a variety of musical styles, so there's bound to be a song or two along the way that sets your toe to tapping or your mind to focusing upon the goodness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, we'll bring you some stimulating thoughts on evolution versus creation, and if time allows, we might even squeeze in a short word of encouragement or challenge to help you grow stronger from yours truly. Now, I want to move on to our first music segment, but just before I do, I want to let you know that while I've had some unexpected time on my hands lately, I was able to tackle the website and get some things tidied up there a bit. It's a bit nicer to look at and easier to get around on now. And I've been able to add that new Musicians Links page that I've been wanting to do for some time. So you can go there to find a whole bunch of folks that we spin from our independent musicians, their personal websites, some of their free MP3 music, and even a place to get their full CDs if a particular artist grabs your heart. And one last thing before our first song. A little later I'm going to be telling you how to get a hold of us here and why you should do that. There's a whole bunch of reasons, and we have a very important and exciting new reason to contact us that I'll be sharing with you in a little while. Our 24-hour voicemail line is going to take on a new job along with all the other things that it already helps us with. I'll tell you more later. Now, the contact information is on the front of the CD, so I won't need to repeat all of that for you. In fact, I think it's time to quit talking altogether and spin our first indie artist for the new year. She was our featured artist back in May of 2004, and she brings a solid acoustic rock style with lyrics that stir the heart and the mind in a very good way. Here's Audrey Hatcher with a song called Evidence.
Stepped out on the porch on a warm summer night, hear the crickets singing their love songs. Look up at the stars shining their light, declaring your praises all night long. There was a time when I never noticed, now I'm wondering how I missed this evidence of your glory.
To illustrate the problem of going through life without God, Amazing Alan will attempt to disarm this bomb without a manual.
Not to worry, guys. Everyone knows you always cut the red wire.
Okay, Alan. Everyone behind the cement walls. And action.
Yellow, green, blue. Guys, there's no red wire. What do I do?
Whatever feels right, Alan.
Whatever feels right?
Just do what's right for you, Alan.
Well, if I would have designed this bomb, I would have put in a red wire.
That's the point, Alan. We didn't design life either. That's why we need God.
Ha ha! Here's our red wire! I knew I could do this on my own!
The Bible is our owner's manual. It gives us practical instruction on how to live life.
There's got to be a better way to make these points, guys.
A message from Lifeline Productions. 1-800-52-FUNNY at lifelinepro.com.
Leave It to Squirrely with Hugh Budford, Barbara Billingsworth, Tommy Dow, and Jerry Smathers. He's Squirrely.
Hey, what's that?
What's what?
Well, that thing around your neck.
Oh, you mean this thing?
Yeah.
Well, it's sort of a fish.
Well, let me see it. IXOYE. Well, what's that mean?
Well, it means I got born again, kinda.
Born again? You mean you're a Christian?
Well, yeah, I think so.
Boy, Squirrely. Does Dad know about this?
No. Do you think he's gonna holler at me and stuff?
I don't know, Squirrely. You've never done anything like this before. What would make you go and do a goofy thing like that?
Well, I don't know why. They were just studying the Bible, and they read the part that said if I didn't, I'd go to hell. But that God loved me, and he didn't want me to go to hell. And then if I didn't want to go to hell, what I had to do was repent from all the bad stuff that I did and accept Jesus as my Savior and live my life for him. And then I could go to heaven.
Well, what does all that mean?
Well, it means that instead of doing all the things that I want to do, that I should only do the things that the Bible says to do, like being nice to people and not being selfish and praying and reading the Bible every day.
Gee, sounds kind of creepy if you ask me.
Well, I know it does at first. Well, I didn't think I was going to like reading my Bible every day because it always sounds so boring when Reverend Watkins reads it. But I really like it now.
You got a Bible?
Yeah, they gave it to me at camp. Look, it's got pictures and maps,
wow.
And it's written so I can understand what it means.
Hey, that's kind of neat.
Yeah, and they got a prayer group and believers club and lots of other things to help me grow in the Lord. At first, I thought it was dumb to be a Christian because it wasn't any fun. But it's really neat, huh, Wally?
I guess so. So long as you like it. I wouldn't do it, though.
Why not, Wally?
Well, because, Squirrely, if I stopped doing all the stuff I'm not supposed to be doing, I wouldn't have anything left to do.
Wally, can I pray for you?
I guess so. But why would you want to do that?
Because I really love you, Wally. You're the best brother a guy ever had.
Cut it out, Squirrely.
Have no fear, Handsome's here.
Hi, Eddie.
Hi, Eddie.
Hiya, men. What's shaking?
Nothing much. I was just gonna go over to Stubby Ferguson's house and see his iguana.
Oh, yeah? Well, maybe you can get a date with one of his lizards, huh? Hey, what are you dressed up for, Squirt? You look like you just climbed out from under a rock.
Well, I'm gonna go down today and help paint the church, Eddie.
Paint the church? Who's making you do that?
Well, no one's making me do it. I just want to, that's all.
You mean they ain't paying you? You're doing it for free?
Well, yeah.
Hey, Wally, I thought you were this guy's brother. Squirrely, let me tell you about churches. They're a ripoff. My old man says they're the biggest crooks in town. They don't have to pay for taxes or anything. They just get people like you to do all the work for free and keep all the money from the offerings for themselves. And I hear some of those offerings over $1 million, Sam.
But that's not true, Eddie. Well, our church doesn't have $1 million. Well, some of the pastors even have extra jobs just to feed their families.
That's all a scam, Sam. You watch. One day you'll wake up and they'll all be gone to the Bahamas or something.
Lay off of Eddie, will ya?
Okay, but don't say I didn't warn you. Christians are nothing but a bunch of phonies.
Cut it out, Eddie. Why don't you wait for me downstairs?
Hey, don't get mad, Dad. I'm going, I'm going. Hey, St. Theodore, see you later, huh?
Sorry about that, Squirrely. Well, you know how Eddie is.
It's okay, Wally. He doesn't bother me. I know there's lots of people who say they're Christians, but they really aren't. What I don't understand is how God could love a guy like Eddie. He must be an awfully big God.
Yeah, I guess so.
You know, we didn't have a featured artist segment for the first 3 months of Highways and Byways. That's something that I developed going into April of 2004. But we spun a song or two from a man named Jeff Thurman back in February, and he certainly would have fit the bill as the featured artist that month. You may have never heard of Jeff Thurman, but he's written for folks like Glenn Campbell, Cindy Morgan, Ricky Skaggs, Amy Grant, Phillips Craig and Dean, and Point of Grace. And that's just the short list. Well, here's a song from Jeff Thurman called The Unseen Child.
Lord, have mercy and great compassion in tender fashion, so meek and mild.
I said,
Lord, have mercy for the grave reactions and tragic actions of the unseen child.
I know somebody with weary eyes will not laugh and cannot cry. He's just a baby boy stuck in shame. He don't know his name. He's got his helmet and a big boots on. Wears more wrath than Genghis Khan. He rides a river they call denial. Surely drives him wild. He is the unseen child.
Child,
yeah. Watching him wish he could be so brave to pack his pride and walk away. Begin again in some other state. Hope if not too late. He had a passion without a doubt. When dark and lights blew out, that's when he learned what life's about. Made him warm and bright. God
Amazing Alan, dynamite scene, take one.
Guys?
Yes, Alan?
Are you sure all I have to do is hold onto the stick of dynamite and say my lines?
That's right, Alan. Any questions?
Yeah. Why are you filming from way over there?
It's a compression shot, Alan. Looks real artistic.
Okay. And who's this guy standing next to me?
He's, our special effects coordinator. Okay, take one, and action!
From Genesis to Revelation,
you'll find the Bible explosive with information! Hey, hey, get away with those matches, man! This is dynamite!
Whoa! Whoa! Whoa, this baby's lit! What do I do? What do I do?
Say your lines, Alan!
Okay, from Genesis to Revelation, you'll find the Bible explosive with information! Read about God's love for you, starting with the book of...
Cut. Alan, you didn't say which book.
John.
You have seen the signs in hilly areas, I'm sure. Truckers, check your brakes. And then, near the bottom of some of those hills is a gravel emergency escape ramp. Well, the Bible has some interesting things to say about this kind of warning sign. Let's hear now from Pastor Hank.
Thanks, Mary. Last month we talked about how bad things are out there, ready to happen to everyone. But those who trust in the Lord will be delivered, for to the Lord alone belong escapes from death. I want to point out that the Bible gives us some good instruction to help us from being at the wrong place at the wrong time in the first place. The key is that road sign, truckers, test your brakes. The Department of Transportation wants you to stop, check yourself out, make sure everything's okay before you proceed, because hazardous conditions lie ahead. Test your brakes. Corresponding to this, we can begin by looking at the book of Galatians, chapter 6. Let's begin reading with verse 3. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone, and not in regard to one another. And it goes on to verse 7 that says, Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. It's an unbreakable law, my friend. Whatever you sow, you will reap. If you sow trouble, you'll reap trouble. If you take advantage of others, you'll be taken advantage of. How you treat others is how you'll be treated. It's an unbreakable law of the universe, friend. So Paul says, test your brakes, check yourself out. Before you proceed, make sure you're in good working order, in good relationship with yourself, with God, with those around you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, he says much the same thing. Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Christ Jesus is in you, unless you indeed fail the test? Test your brakes. Check yourself out. You may say you are a Christian, but friend, examine your own life. Are you robbing your company, robbing the government, stealing, lying, cheating? Are you abusive toward others? If you are engaged in what the Bible calls the deeds of the flesh, which is found in Galatians chapter 6, immorality, impurity, sensuality, hey, we're talking about sex here. We're talking about adultery and fornication and pornography, idolatry, sorcery, we're talking witchcraft, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions. I mean, we're talking about relationships with your fellow man, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I mean, there's even more than Paul bothered to list here. He says, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Whoa, time to check those brakes, friend. You may call yourself a Christian. You might even go to church. Could have even been water baptized or speak in tongues. But what's your life really like? If you've been giving place to the works of the flesh, here's a stern warning. Those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That means eternal damnation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26, Paul even says, if you partake of communion and yet hold unforgiveness toward others, or partake in another unworthy manner, you may bring sickness upon yourself, even to the point of death. And in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, Paul says, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. Don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Friends, we don't have time to fool around. We don't have time for pornography. We don't have time for a little fornication or adultery. We don't have time for these things. It's a time to test our brakes. It's a time to walk uprightly before the Lord, for these days are evil days. It's easy to get tempted to sin, but if we stop and check ourselves out, it's also easy to repent. It's still easy to turn, to check ourselves out. It's still possible to halt our progress and turn from our wicked ways and walk again in the ways of righteousness. If you are found in the pathway of sin, God's provided a wonderful escape ramp. It's called repentance. You're hurtling down that highway to destruction. The hill's getting steeper, but look over there. God's provided a way out, that escape ramp. It's called repentance. It brings you to a stop safely. It allows you to make repairs to the way you've been living and resume progress on the right pathway. In the Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania area where I live, there's a long downgrade into the city from the west. Near the bottom is an escape ramp, but there's no area beforehand to test one's brakes. You need to have done so before setting out to Pittsburgh. Trucks use that gravel ramp, but it's also amazing to see how many truckers with their brakes shot ignore the ramp and go zooming on through that narrow Fort Pitt tunnel, across the Fort Pitt Bridge, out of control. They're in big trouble. There's no emergency escape ramp or pull-off in the tunnel. There's no place to pull off on the bridge. I said, it's amazing to see truckers do this. Now, how do I see them? I see them on the evening news. You see, the bridge has several very tight turns at the end, and the truckers fall off the ramps. They're dangling over the guardrails. They drop onto the lower roadways. They flip over on the grass of Point Park. Some are injured, some are killed. They fail to stop and examine themselves to test their brakes beforehand, and then on the way down, they either didn't pay attention or ignored the escape ramp repentance provided them, and their life became a catastrophe. Don't you be like them. Check out your rig, and even more, check out your life before God and make those repairs, okay? This is Hank Nuola with Road Signs.
Thanks, Hank. That was great. Until next time, keep your eyes on the road and pay attention to those God-placed road signs in your life.
You know, our first month of Highways and Byways, back in January 2004, we didn't have a wide selection of music to choose from, and we had a steady diet of Christian country music that month. Now, good as it was, from then to now, we've been able to expand into Christian rock, in Christian light rock, Christian jazz. We've been able to even get some Christian blues thrown in there for some excellent artists that we've picked up along the way. We've even enjoyed a little bit of mass choirs, black gospel, southern gospel. I tell you what, we run just about the full gambit from time to time. In January, we spun this song, and I don't believe we've played it since. Here's Marty Raybon with Show 'em Your Sermon.
Church. I can still recall him standing tall, delivering the word. But the strongest sermons that he preached weren't from that old pulpit. No, his message came through clearest in the way my grandpa lived. He told me, show up your sermon if you want it to ring true. Your
sunny talk, and that talk won't do. Show them your sermon, and the message will shine through. So many times I've seen him down at Forrester's Cafe, with 20 bucks and breakfast for some soul who lost their way. Poor folks, sick folks, hungry folks, shut-ins and bereaved. He knew he'd stand right by their side in their hour of need. He told me, show them your sermon if you want it to ring true. Your life's the only preaching folks will pay attention to. If you ain't walking the walk, then sonny, talk, and that talk won't do. Show them your sermon, and the message will shine through. Well, I didn't make a preacher like my grandpa thought I might, but I hope there's still a sermon in the way I lead my life. Show them your sermon if you want it to ring true. Your life's the only preaching folks will pay attention to. If you ain't walking the walk, then sonny, talk, and that talk won't do. Show them your sermon, and the message will shine through.
Amazing Alan, grand piano scene, take one.
Guys, so I stand under this grand piano that's hanging from a rope?
That's right, Alan. And when you get to the part where you say smashing, say it with an English accent.
Oh, that's good.
And action.
Pick up your Bible and read it today. You'll find its stirring promises and action-packed history simply Hey, wait a minute.
Yes, Alan?
There's a note after my line that tells the special effects coordinator to let go of the rope.
Right. Say your lines, Alan.
Hold on. I see where this is going.
Alan, a lot of people think the Bible is just a book of rules and laws. We want to illustrate that it's a book with history, with plots and people that are real and moving.
Hey, you're right. The Bible is simply smashing.
Cut. That's a take.
There's just got to be a better way to make these points, guys.
In April, we launched a segment that we just weren't quite sure how long it would sustain itself. It's lived on ever since that first one, and this may not necessarily be the best of the quote-unquote segments, but it's my favorite one because it's where we began with it, and I think it has improved considerably since the first one. Still, the quotes are good, they're funny, and you get the idea of what quote-unquote's all about. Here's our first in-house production of Quote Unquote from last year.
And the hits just keep on coming. Man, I'm tired of being right.
Let me out of this thing.
Well, here we are again. It's time for
Quote and Unquote.
What's he talking about?
This is not to make fun of anyone. This is to make fun of everyone.
This is a reminder to all of humanity. We're all human.
Ah, shut up!
All too easy.
Scene one, Apple, take one.
I bet he's no Wheaties.
Quote and Unquote.
Well, what a great place to start. With Britney Spears in this recent interview when she stated the following.
Quote.
I love to travel overseas to places like Canada.
Unquote.
Or Shaquille O'Neal when he was asked about his trip to Greece while playing international basketball in the Goodwill Games. Shaq was asked, did you visit the Parthenon? His reply was.
Quote.
I don't remember all the clubs we went to.
Unquote.
And Bob Dole helps us all understand the World Wide Web a little bit more with this
quote.
The internet is a great way to get on the net.
Unquote.
Now, I don't know about you folks, but every time I turn my truck around 360 degrees, for some reason I'm going in the same direction that I started out in. But basketball star Jason Kidd makes you wonder if he knows something that we don't. He made this observation concerning the team's poor performance.
Quote,
"We have got to turn things around 360 degrees.
Unquote.
Then there's this from former football great Joe Theismann.
Quote,
"Nobody in football should be called a genius. A genius is a guy like Norman Einstein."
Unquote.
Well, Mike Tyson's not about to be outdone. He competes, too, with this one.
Quote,
"Lots of people get face tattoos. Billions. Even millions."
Unquote.
Torin Polk, a University of Houston receiver, on his coach John Jenkins, said the following.
Quote,
"He treats us like men. He lets us wear earrings."
Unquote.
And finally, a tourist asked this question at Mesa Verde National Park.
Quote,
"Did people build this or did Indians?"
Unquote.
We'll be back later on with more.
Quote and unquote.
Well, each month we receive excellent contributions from Professor Ken Ham over at Answers in Genesis. It became nearly impossible to pick out a best of because we need every bit of knowledge and wisdom that we can grab hold of as we face a skeptical world that has had this silly notion of evolution presented as fact for decades without a shred of hard evidence to support it. But I thought Ken's efforts to tie morality and immorality and the current condition of our post-Christian nation to how we view the Bible won out in the photo finish decision here. Ken Ham from Answers in Genesis, as we heard him from November 2004. And we'll follow this up with a song from C.C. Winans called "Anybody Wanna Pray?" It was way back in March.
Morality, it's connected to biblical authority.
Answers with Ken Ham, author of the challenging book, Genesis and the Decay of the Nations. Well, Ken, surely people realize that Christian morality is based on the Bible. Why is it even important to bring out this connection?
Well, you know, in the book of Judges, concerning the Israelites, we read this statement, "When they had no king to tell them what to do, they all did what was right in their own eyes." In other words, when there's no absolute authority to decide right and wrong, everyone has their own opinion as to what they should do. I believe our once Christianized Western culture is very much like the Israelites, as described in this passage from Judges. Because so much of the church has accepted the idea of millions of years and evolutionary ideas, and thus reinterpreted God's word in Genesis accordingly, biblical authority has been greatly undermined in the culture. And because generations of Christian leaders have not believed the history in Genesis, now the culture as a whole no longer believes the Bible is the absolute authority. So increasingly, society is rejecting Christian morality because people no longer believe the book, the Bible, that this very morality is based in. The loss of Christianity in the culture is directly connected to the loss of biblical authority because the church compromised Genesis. After a lecture I gave during my recent speaking tour of England, two teenage girls approached me. One told me she was a believer and she brought a non-Christian friend to hear me speak. The non-Christian girl said, "How come you said I would be immoral if I believe in evolution?" I told her I didn't say that at all. I then explained to her that the point I made in the lecture was that if a person doesn't believe in God or that his word in the Bible is the absolute authority, then there was no basis for absolutes, for right and wrong. So I said, if you believe what the British Museum teaches, that man is just an animal and no different to a fruit fly, then human life has no value. Humans can determine their own morality, if they can get away with it. I then asked her, how can you insist that there are such things as right and wrong if you don't accept the Bible as the absolute authority? Well, you know what? She didn't have an answer. See, only the Christian can defend an absolute morality because they have the absolute word.
Our Father.
Filter right.
On the rock like this. So if 2, 3 or more decide to lock wrists, you better come strong, faith long in this. Cause with Rich and CC, you know God in the mix.
Now, an End Times update.
Now, we do a segment or two each month called End Time Reports. And the topic can range from earthquakes, Israel, Mark of the Beast, diseases and pestilence reports, wars and rumors of war, and so on. Now, there was no End Time Report for the special Christmas edition, and there really is no such thing as the best of an end time report, to be honest with you. So I picked out the most interesting news story that came over the business wire, and it happened to come out late in November. This will give you a good handle on what the end time reports are all about. Now, this report centers on the message from the keynote speaker at the Identification World Congress in Barcelona. The folks who have the corner on the market for this implantable microchip, Applied Digital Solutions, or ADS, announced a 6-point privacy statement through its chairman and CEO, Scott Silverman. He went ahead to outline the company's new 6-point privacy statement as part of that keynote address at the World ID Congress in Spain. And isn't it amazing that the name of this conference is so blatant? The World Identification Congress. I'm not paranoid. I just happen to believe that these folks are serious about their name and their goals. So, recognizing the company's role in the development of radio frequency identification technology worldwide, Mr. Silverman stated in his speech at the conference, "It is our duty to educate and unite rather than isolate and divide. We as leaders in the radio frequency identification industry must be proactive in our privacy efforts. We must engage and in turn educate and unite world leaders, privacy groups, and, most importantly, the world population." That's right, Mr. Silverman. Don't forget about the world population. The company's six-point privacy statement is as follows. Number one, VeriChip should be voluntary and voluntary only. No person, no employer, no government should force anyone to get chipped. Well, Mr. Silverman, through your rose-colored glasses, this sounds great. But we all have personal experience with matters of government-enforced laws, and when the decision is finally made to mandate this, your company is going to be more than happy to sell us the chips, I'm sure. Hey, I know. How about changing point number one to read this way, Mr. Silverman? Applied Digital Solutions will never sell, provide, or otherwise profit from or be part of any government-mandated chipping of humans, ever. We promise. No good, huh? A little too exacting and confining for attracting investors, huh? I see. Well, I understand completely. Let's check out point number two. Could be a little better. Mr. Silverman said in point number two that privacy must be a priority at the highest levels of our organization. And as such, we will have a chief privacy officer. I'm feeling better already. And privacy experts will be charged with addressing the day-to-day global evolution of this technology. Now, see, Mr. Silverman, here we go again. I think we've all had personal experience with matters getting out of hand and problems showing up that nobody expected. How about this instead for point number two? If we see that Applied Digital has lost the handle on this evolution of the technology, we will cease, desist, and shut down all tracking devices and pay for the removal of the microchips that we chipped people with. What? That's not good either? I see. You're concerned that unforeseeable evolutionary technological problems could actually result in a greater need for your services, and that would, of course, result in a better profit margin. I understand how you can't quite bring yourself to promise to shut it all down if it gets out of control. Well, maybe we'll do better with point number three. Point number three of his address said, we will immediately address privacy and patients' rights in all consumer, distributor, and medical documents related to VeriChip. You're going to immediately address them. Oh, that's so reassuring, Mr. Silverman. Just what will that address be? Number one, United Nations headquarters? Well, let's move on to point number four. VeriChip subscribers are able to have their chip removed and discontinued at any time. Oh, that's great, as long as it turns out that it wasn't a mandatory injection in the first place. I mean, you won't guarantee that it won't be mandatory. You just said that you think it should be voluntary. No cigar here, Mr. Silverman. Okay, number five. Privacy means different things to different people, so only the VeriChip customer should designate the groups that may have access to his or her database information. Well, thanks, Mr. Silverman. It's nice to know that I'll be in control of who I'm forced to grant my information to. You think I'm being unreasonable and irrational? Well, when's the last time that you refused to give your social security number for something and still got what you wanted? Like admission to a hospital to see a doctor. You know perfectly well, Mr. Silverman, that the only option a person will wind up with in the end is to allow access to the information or be denied important and vital services. All right, you're 0 for 5 here with one point of assurance to go. This better be your best shot. Number 6, we pledge to thoughtfully, openly, and considerately engage government, privacy groups, the industry, and consumers to ensure that the adoption of VeriChip and the radio frequency identification technology is through education and unity rather than isolation and division. You know, after I trim the fat off of those lofty words, I see that I'm left with a simple little morsel that says, we're going to go ahead and do everything in the book to make sure this implantable tracking chip finds its way into your life. Well, I want to thank you so much, Mr. Silverman, for being so transparent and clear on the ultimate point. You're going to do whatever, wherever, in order to see that the company is at the front of this radio tracking technology. Well, that's enough for me. I didn't need a six-point promise to reassure me that your goal is to help ID the entire world population with radio frequency chips. whether they tell us that it's just for medical purposes or not. Well, my friends, we'll bring you more next month. In the meantime, keep looking up, because our redemption draws near. And if you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, you already have the mark of God written on your very soul. And your name is already in God's database. And that's the only tracking device you'll ever need.
Oh, Betty, this is such a wonderful party.
Well, I'm so glad you came. Have you seen Billy Bob anywhere yet?
Have you talked to your doctor about the little purple chip? Well, you may want to wait until you get home. Have you talked to your doctor about the purple chip yet?
Millions of people all over the world are finding out about the miracle of the little purple chip.
It's not really purple. It's a microchip. But it does leave a small purple bruise mark at the point of injection under the skin. With one 10-minute implantation process, you can be free from the pains of reaching into your pockets to touch those dirty, filthy paper and coin currencies that have probably been touched by people who have had their hands in places you don't even want to think about.
This little purple chip will make it so easy to buy and sell things everywhere you go in your life.
Surveys show that one out of every two people will be unconsciously blissful as they enter into the world of a cashless society. So don't be left out.
The day may come when it's the only way to buy and sell.
Leading sociologists all agree, just one little implantable chip, about the size of a grain of rice, can set you on the path to blending in with the rest of humanity and shed that unwanted individuality.
Don't wait. Ask your doctor today about the little purple chip.
Side effects include, but are not limited to, invasion of personal privacy, loss of personal freedom, and mandatory obedience to a false god. A permanent mark upon the forehead or forearm may eventually be noticeable in large numbers of people. Not everyone is suited for the implantable chip. Consult your god before deciding.
Next millennium, the little purple chip of the future.
Our featured artist in June was a man by the name of Marvin King. He brought us the blues in a happy kind of way. Here's a song called Dance in the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Steve. You know, it's not always easy to get people to go to church with you, but we're here to do it whatever it takes. After all, we're to go out to the highways and byways and compel the lost to come in. Compel is the key word here. Look, here's the habitat of one now. Let's go. We're in, and we're approaching his den. Look, he's feeding with his mate in front of the telly. Isn't he a whopper? And his mate, beautiful, will overwhelm them with sheer manpower. They're resisting like crazy, but it's for their own good. Whoa, look out, mate. Crikey, they got away. We'll never see them again. Wow, look at these wounds. I'm bleeding profusely. Isn't it great? Well, on second thought, maybe it ain't. Maybe a better way to do this would be to take Paul's advice. I'm all things to all men that I might win some. Crikey. Maybe I should have just asked him.
Well, as much as I hate to say it, time is catching up with us for this volume. We have a song or two yet for you and some other odds and ends, but I want to take a few moments to go just a little deeper with my challenge to you earlier about reading John chapter 15 and asking yourself if that kind of power and authority is at work in your life. Starting with this January 2005 edition of Highways and Byways, we're going to begin a continuing Bible study segment. We know we need to give it a real innovative and catchy name so that you can always identify with it. So I came up with this, Our Bible Study Time. Okay, it's not very catchy and it's not very innovative, but hopefully you can identify with it. It's going to be our special time to study together, Our Bible Study Time. Now, time is always an issue for us because we have so much to bring you each month and only about an hour and 15 minutes to get it all in. So our study may overlap quite often from month to month as we move along. I just don't see any reason to get into a big hurry and maybe miss a very important piece of the puzzle, so to speak. Now, the studies will be topical in nature rather than a book-by-book approach, so make certain that you call in or email us with your topical suggestions for future studies. Right now, March through the rest of the year is open to your submission of topical ideas. So if you don't want me to pick the topics alone, let me know what topics you'd like to see us tackle. Now, I'm always going to put our Bible study time on its own separate track so that you can listen to it while you're driving and play it back later when you open up your Bible and settle down and just follow along. Maybe take some notes, and you can always call in with questions that you might have so that we can deal with them before we move on to another topic. Well, let's break for another song here, and we'll come back and dive into our Bible study time for this month. In August, a young lady by the name of Robin Welty was our featured artist of the month. And although Robin has managed to advance in her ministry and career with notoriety, she continues to offer free MP3 downloads of just a whole bunch of her music. And that blesses my heart because her message that she has to share is more important than the money. It's obvious. But you could still go to her website, either from our website or go straight there by going to www.robinwelty.com. It's all one word, Robin Welty, W-E-L-T-Y. She has a couple albums out, and if the music really grabs you the way it grabbed me, you're going to want to pick a few of the albums up for yourself. Well, here's a song from Robin called To Be Free.
A way to be found, a way to behold.
it's time for another edition of People You Know Who Are Now In The Know.
Greetings. A fool I was. Wise I have become. The force is a farce. This I have learned. Jesus says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. The word is now nourishment to my soul. Yes, a teacher I was. A learner I have become. You too must learn the ways of the Father. You can start in my favorite book, Luke.
Thank you for that stirring testimony.
I'm not done yet.
We begin our Bible study time with a topic that's bound to stretch you as it has already begun to stretch me. Friend, my learning, personal growth, and advancement in kingdom principles is an ongoing process in my life, just as much as anyone else who desires more of God. We may only lay the groundwork this month so that we can dig deeper next time around, but laying the groundwork is going to be vital if we're going to become activated in God's power authority for our life. We've all read the passages of Scripture that speak about healing and miracles of all sorts. For many years, the teaching from the great leaders in Christianity have told us that the time is coming when signs and wonders will explode among believers who are tapped into God's power and kingdom authority. That it will explode to levels that begin to create revivals that capture whole towns, states, and even nations for Christ. I am convinced that we're now at the threshold of this event. I'm convinced that there's a fresh and clear call for us as Christians to begin to prove out in our lives the very words of the Bible that we claim are so true: Jesus, salvation, and kingdom authority. There was a great faith healer years back. Catherine Coleman was her name. I remember her as a child. She was a woman of God that had no notable Bible training, yet she was respected as an authority on the power and authority of the Holy Spirit of God. The signs and wonders that followed her ministry are impossible to refute. Healings that are documented by doctors who were not even believers themselves were quite normal in her ministry. She used to say that the greatest miracle of all was the healing of a soul, the regeneration of a dead spirit inside of a human shell. That's what this power, authority, and chain of command is ultimately meant to create: other Christians, so we bear fruit. For those that have been taught that the power of the Holy Spirit was given just for the early church to get started and then it was taken away, well, they fail to understand that besides the fact that one must take passages out of context in order to attempt to support this claim, these same people will tell you that God can still heal any time that He wants to, and they'll even pray for your healing by God themselves. Go figure. Human nature is so quirky, isn't it? That one would say that the power of the healing ministry of the Holy Spirit through people is over and done. Yet, they pray to God for healing, knowing and professing that God is sovereign and able to heal if He wants to. Well, I'm here to tell you that He wants to. He has and He always will. And He will right up to the time that Jesus returns to earth to gather up His bride, you, me, and every other true follower of Christ. And that's where John 15 really starts. Jesus is speaking about true followers. I start in John 15:1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, so that it may bear more fruit. You're already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Now, this abiding in Jesus means just what it says. There's no need for a deep study into the Greek word on this one. It means just that: remain, live in, abide. Folks talk about eternal security, and I, for one, am convinced that we are all eternally secure just as long as we do exactly what Jesus has instructed right here in John 15. Remain in me, abide in me. Jesus says that we are branches on His vine, and then He says, if you don't remain in me, you will be taken away. Later on, He says you'll be burned up, as the example of the unproductive, non-fruit-bearing vine is carried on in its meaning as it applies to you and me. So we begin John 15 with a description of what a true believer in Jesus looks like. He looks like one who's remaining in Christ.
And as a result, he's very much fruit. The true follower gets pruned back in order to get a little hardier, and then he'll be able to bear even greater fruit. There's only one way to truly remain in or abide in someone's teachings and instructions. That is to listen and obey. Get into line behind the one who is leading, and then follow. You know, my wife Gail and I are both ministers of the gospel, but we still have pastors who love us and whom we trust to keep a loving eye on our walk with Jesus. They, in turn, have trusted men and women of God who have mentored them along their way as well. It's a chain of command in a matter of speaking, not a control or manipulate kind of chain of command, but a kind of safety net of accountability and counsel as we move forward in the ministry that the Lord has laid upon our hearts to do. Let me qualify ministry here and now. Ministry equals bearing fruit, period. It could be genuine planting, watering, and nurturing, but that needs to lead to life-giving, soul-regenerating, body-healing, spirit-mending, fruitful ministry. Anything less than fruitful does not qualify. Now, part of our ministry has led me out into the highways and the byways of this country in a big truck for the last 5 years. But coming out of an extensive sales background and into a truck wasn't in my game plan. The end result of all of this has at minimum caused highways and byways to be created. I would have never realized just how difficult this job is that you do, how underappreciated you all quite often are, and how very much we all depend on what you're doing and what you do as you sacrifice family and church time to get it done. I was compelled to bear some fruit in this area of life while I was out there working. I say this because I want to dispel the notion that ministry is something other than living out life day to day, whether it be at work, whether we're being social or enjoying some time of recreation, whether we're at church, it doesn't matter. Ministry is a way of life just as Christianity is a way of life. If you don't see yourself in ministry, in your everyday life, long before the ministry may have a title, a business card, and a website, then you may never see those things come about as a result of God's leading. Well, you can make up a name and print up your own business cards and make a website for a modest investment these days, all on your own good intentions. But how much better, how much more effective if the power, authority, and chain of command to enter into such a ministry comes as God directs and opens doors for you, instead of you or me going around kicking down doors just to get in. Now, the Lord may have already impressed upon you to leave Bible tracts wherever you sit down at a restaurant to eat, or maybe in the bathroom at the rest areas. He may have inspired you to buy little pocket-sized books of the Gospel of John to hand out. Well, that would be great if you had one of those right now, because you'd be able to follow along as we dig into John. Maybe you're moved to share Jesus in a good old-fashioned soul-winning adventure from time to time. You see what I'm saying. Ministry comes in all shapes and sizes. All of it is equally important because the goal is not the masses, but the one right there within your reach. That's ministry. That's the ministry that Jesus demonstrated even while dealing with the masses of people. It always came down to individual body ministry. So our first Bible study begins with a description of what a true believer looks like, what they do, which is to bear fruit. And that takes us into a look at how we get tapped into this power, authority, and chain of command so that we can do what Jesus said we would do. Just look at John 14:12 and let that soak into your soul. I'm going to go ahead and read it for you, but I want you to go there later on. John 14:12, "Truly I say to you, he who puts faith in me will do the very works which I do. He will do greater things than these because I'm going to my Father." Now, this passage is the great lead-in to John 15, where we read in verse 7, "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you." John 14:12 and 15:7, when they're put together, spell out the short version of how to tap into the power, authority, and the chain of command. Now, let me say right here that I've struggled with the extremes of the word of faith movements for years, and I've even allowed my desire to make certain that I am not mistaken for one who claims wealth and riches as a right that we gain if only we have enough faith to speak it out. I'm just not in that camp. But hear me, there is unquestionably creative power within us, power that God intends for us to use to bear much fruit. It's through the spoken word. This fruit is in the sense of helping others to become attached to God's vine, bringing life where death is looming and pending, bringing healing to bodies that need to be restored. What vine is that? the vine that connects us to the power, authority, and chain of command. God wants you and I to do the works that Jesus did, and even greater works. Well, what did he do? He healed the sick, the lame. Withered hands became straight. The dead were raised up. And in Christ's ministry, he did something that we never see from any of the Old Testament prophets, healers, or leaders. Jesus gave sight to the blind. It seems fitting, too, in light of the fact that Jesus is the one who brings our spiritual sight into focus. Well, how are we going to top this? How are we supposed to do greater things than these? Most everything that I've looked at about this word greater in the original Greek speaks to the quantity and numbers more than a notion of topping it with a greater miracle. I mean, if you can do one better than raising the dead, you call the voicemail line and let me know what it is. The important thing to remember is why these miracles were taking place. John 2:23 says that when Jesus was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. And it didn't stop with Jesus. The disciples began to do just what he had said. They began to exercise the power authority in the chain of command. They stepped into, they saw themselves empowered, and they took their place in that chain of command. They began to speak in the name of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts 6:8 tells us that Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Acts 8:6 says that the people with one accord gave heed according to those things which Philip spoke, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. This is a witnessing tool, my friend, the ultimate tool for demonstrating that God is real. I believe that God wants you and me to begin to walk in this power and authority now. I urge you to ponder upon John 15 for the entire month. I want you to begin to talk to God in your prayer time and ask him to help you begin to understand the truth of these words from John 15:7 in particular. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Okay, the table is set for next month. We'll study God's formula for doing miracles. Not my formula. Not some concocted scheme of a televangelist ministry somewhere. Right there in John 15, God spells it out. Now, I encourage you to do a little extra thing this month. And by all means, continue your personal reading devotions and prayer times. But read chapter 15 each and every day and start asking God for insight and ability to grab onto everything that he has for you to glean and grow in from these verses. Well, next month then, part two of Power and Authority and the Chain of Command during our Bible study time together. Well, I have thoroughly enjoyed this time and I'm blessed for the privilege of doing what I do here each month. My sincere prayer is that you've also been blessed, encouraged, and maybe even found a few things to smile about along the way. Don't forget to contact us. Let us know that you're out there. We can't pray and believe for the specifics in your life if you don't talk to us and let us know what's going on, what you need for the Lord to help you with. Prayer requests, healing prayer, spiritual questions, topical suggestions. You have not because you ask not. And speaking of asking, let us know if you need a good, safe translation of the New Testament Bible. We'll be pleased to see that you get one so that you can join along with our Bible study time and your own exploration of what God has to say. Well, till next month then, may God bless all that you set your heart and hands to do for him. We go out this month with a song from Jill Phillips, who made her Highways and Byways debut back in May with a song called God Believes in You. Stay blessed.
When you start to doubt if you exist, God believes in you. Confounded by the evidence, God believes in you. And when your light burns so dim, and when your chances seem so slim, and you swear you don't believe in him, God believes in you. And when you rise up just to fall again, God believes in you. Deserted by your closest friends, God believes in you. And when you're betrayed with a kiss and you turn your cheek to another fist, it does not have to end like this, 'cause God believes in you. And oh, everything matters if anything matters at all. so ashamed that you could die. God believes in you, and you can't do right even though you try. God believes in you. Yeah, blessed are the ones who grieve, the ones who mourn, and the ones who bleed. In sorrow you sow, but in joy you'll reap. God believes in you. Yeah, blessed are the ones who grieve, the ones who mourn, and the ones who bleed. In sorrow you sow, but in joy you will reap. God believes in you. And oh, God believes in you.
Live from Belchertown, Massachusetts, it's the All Lip You Ain't Just Whistling Dixie Band.
Boom, 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 boom.
We won't do dishes, we make it to the glory land. There won't be dust rags, we wouldn't find them in our hands. Won't clean the cat box, the dirty things won't be there. We'll just praise Jesus when we rise and meet him in the air. We won't do dishes when we make it to the glory land. There won't be dust rags, we wouldn't find them in our hands. Won't clean the cat box, the dirty things won't be there. We'll just praise Jesus when we rise to meet him in the air.